I'm here without Tracy. I don't know where you are, Tracy, this weekend, but I'm recording at the Kutztown Folk Festival again. This is a really fun festival, and if you don't come out every year, seriously, locals, it's probably only 20 minutes direction or drive from any direction that you're living in, from Kutztown, Allentown, or Reading. But I ran into one of my favorite people, Tina Sams. She has like a little herb garden here at her booth, and it's full of all of the herbs that you can buy at your local nursery, and it has all kinds of information about the herbs, their medicinal uses, and she has in the booth her magazines, her sister's soaps, and some scrubs, and a lot of herbal items.
And the Rosemary House is...
Oh, the Rosemary House, too. Yep. So mm-hmm. Tina Sams of the Essential Herbal, and I have so many questions for you.
Okay.
And we talked last year. You can listen to last year's podcast. I'll probably put the link for the show in the podcast episode on the blog, but that was a fun chat, too, last year. And we did two of them, and one of them was about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I think you gave some great tips, because I always share that with other women who always ask me questions about going into business. But anyway,
okay. We're
here to talk about tinctures,
yeah. Because
I think it was in early spring, I saw you post on your Facebook page about chickweed.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And that's when I first thought, okay, a tincture. I can make a tincture.
How'd that work out?
I made it, and now I don't know what to do with it.
Really?
So, yes. So here are my questions.
Okay.
First of all, how would you describe a tincture for people who don't know what it is?
Well, a tincture is really the easiest way to preserve an herb.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes herbs lose effectiveness when you dry them. So with tinctures, what you do is you just fill a jar with fresh or dried, I prefer fresh usually, herb. Loosely filled, and then cover it with 100 proof vodka.
Okay. Is that like Everclear is 100
well,
proof?
Well, Everclear is 190 proof.
Oh,
right?
Is that too strong?
Well, not necessarily, but it depends. I mean, if you're using fresh herb, you can usually get away with that because the fresh herb has some water in it. But the reason that you use, I usually use 100 proof, because that's 50% water, 50% alcohol.
Okay.
That's what that means. And with Everclear is 195, so that's like 97.5% alcohol.
Okay.
And just a little bit of water.
Mm-hmm.
But you get some water in a fresh herb, so you can use Everclear.
Okay.
But most herbs have some water-soluble components and some alcohol-soluble components. So you want some of both of those things.
Okay.
So
you can make it herbal or you can make it fruit?
Oh, yeah, you can do
all
kinds of stuff.
And what's the application for? Why do people make tinctures? Aside from just it's like a different way to preserve...
The medicinal
properties? Okay, yeah.
Or, like right now, tinctures are actually really popular in bars right now.
Oh.
Being added to cocktails and
stuff.
They don't necessarily call them tinctures. They might call them extracts.
Right.
And that's a lot of them are fruit extracts or spices or, you know.
So making your own limoncello is kind of a tincture.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I've got that in my freezer right now.
See?
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do in the winter,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so tinctures can be... something you can use for a cocktail infusion, or even like soda water infusion, right?
Generally, it's medicinal.
But medicinal.
Well, herb people think of them as medicinal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I made this chickweed, which is the herb, and I found it in the book, in your book, which is
Healing Herbs.
The Healing Herbs book, which is where I found the recipe and instruction.
Okay.
When you use it medicinally, what's the best source then to find like what herbs you would use for what issue? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, generally what happens is, let's say you fall out of your chair.
Yes. I fell out of my chair this morning.
Then you would say, okay, I have this issue.
Yeah.
I need to find, what should I use for this? What would be the best thing to use? And either you talk to, either you know, you might know, or you talk to an herb person, or you look it up, or, you know, and then you would try something.
And you have, do you have tinctures in some, do you have a tincture pamphlet? brochure, or is the tincture information in your book, mostly in the book or
books? How to make tinctures is in the book. Okay. Yeah. And it's hard to, people decide, like when we had our, we used to have a shop years ago, and people would say, should I take pills? Should I take a tea? Should I take tincture? What should I use? Mm-hmm. And the thing that you need to do is say, well, what will I use?
Right.
You know, like some people won't take tinctures. Some people should never, ever have alcohol, which you can also make them with glycerin.
Okay.
But it's not as effective. It's not quite as effective in pulling out the constituents. And it tinctures last like at least 10 years.
Do they?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I made a lot of chickweed tincture.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when the ruling came down 10 or 15 years ago that they had to put an expiration date on, they said 10 years would be about right.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they expire in 10 years. Just like, you know, like if you get, what's that gin? Bombay gin. If you look at the bottle, there's all those herbs impressed in the bottle. That's a tincture.
Right.
You know, so. Okay. And they don't say this gin's no good in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
So it's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're going to do with your chickweed, did you strain it?
I strained it because your book said to leave it in, I can't remember for how long. I think it was like 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But until the color came out of the chickweed, which is another question I'm going to ask, because this is essentially what the benefit is, right? You're pulling those, they're not, I would call them phytonutrients, but you call them something else.
Constituents, yeah. Medicinal properties.
Because that's what you're pulling out of it, right?
Yeah.
That's what's coming out of the plant.
So you're looking for the chlorophyll.
Okay.
I mean, that would be the color that, although a lot, like elderberry is going to be purple or, you know, they're all different colors. But, so did yours change color?
Yeah, it turned, like the chickweed itself almost turned like a grayish green. And then I just pulled that out, and I thought I heard someone say put it in a bottle that isn't it, you know, a darker glass, right? You don't want it to be exposed to light.
Right, true.
So I separated them, put them into the bottles, and I just wasn't sure what to do with them after that.
Well, so you can take it. Like if you have a dropper bottle, you people usually take it by the dropper full. And you can mix it with juice or water or whatever you want it. Or I don't like to take it straight. I usually mix it with about a swallow of water. Throw it back. And depending on what you're taking it for, you can take it a couple times a day or,
Know.
That one you want to... Some tinctures you take... Because you have this situation now, like you know, like.
How about rheumatoid arthritis? A friend asked about that. Like, if you were to take something for that, would you take it?
You would take it every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Because
you want to keep that from flaring up.
Almost like a supplement. Okay,
yeah.
So think of it as a supplement.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are actually. They're just. A lot of herbal people are anti-pill, anti-capsule, and some are becoming sort of anti-tincture because it's too much like Western medicine.
Oh.
Or not Western, Western medicine. But I personally kind of feel like we all start somewhere, and there's a lot of judgment going on, like, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. I feel like however people are going to use it, however people are going to learn about it, whatever way makes them comfortable to learn how herbs can help improve their lives, then that is fine.
Yeah. So if this is kind of like the door that opens
someone
to learning a lot more about. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's great. It's almost kind of like someone who wants to eat healthier and they think gluten-free. Is supposed to be a healthy way to eat. But at least they're talking about or asking questions.
They're starting somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So how do you tincture? Let's talk about herbs first. And we're in, what month is this now? July?
Yeah.
Do you tincture what's in season? Like, do you look out in the lawn and you're like, oh my gosh, there's this growing next to the door. I've got to tincture this. And what are, like, we had talked about...
Yeah, things that come close to you.
In my head. What was the word?
Oh, mimosa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one is a big favorite of mine because that is called the happiness tree. Mm-hmm. And it's a junk tree around here.
Yes.
And the branches fall off. And the inner bark, you want the inner bark and the flowers.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so when a storm comes, then usually I can find...
We had a big storm last night.
Big storm.
So you can probably find... You probably can find like this.
Yeah, there's probably some branches out there. Mm-hmm. And so you just peel it. And then the outer bark of mimosa of the upper branches is sort of papery. Mm-hmm. And so as it dries, that'll just fall away and leave you with the beautiful inner bark. Mm-hmm. And you can use that for teas or tinctures or whatever you want.
Okay.
And what happened was I had been using holy basil mm-hmm. for severe anxiety over a family situation. Mm-hmm. And then I heard about mimosa, and I combined the two, and it was like magical almost.
Holy basil and
mimosa.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, because the holy basil was really helping with the anxiety and the mm-hmm. kind of depression, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it was a situational depression. It wasn't mm-hmm. like a
right.
chronic or anything like that. So that really helped. And then I had read that mimosa was... And I do these things. Like, okay, I had read about mimosa. And it was like, I'm putting a jar of it together. You know, I've got the alcohol. I get a couple half gallons in the beginning of the year. And I have the mason jars. And it was like, okay, this branch came down. I'm going to mm-hmm. make some.
Get out. It came down in a storm. And you're like, I've got to do something with this. Okay.
Yeah. And I have a lot of jars like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I have jars, and I don't strain them until I use them. So I've got jars.
You can
all
do
around.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there, some people want to strain them. I don't. Mm-hmm. It's for one thing, it helps me know what's in there. Mm-hmm. But always label them. Always label them, or you won't know.
Right.
And so yeah, I mean, it's like in the spring, weeds like cleavers, which is that one that kind of sticks to you. What?
Oh, wait. There's a baby skunk in the booth?
In the booth? Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. I thought, okay. Well,
sorry.
I would run too. No, that's really funny. Your daughter ran out of the booth. She's gone.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
So,
Oh, cleavers that stick to you.
Yeah. And, so I'll do those. In the fall, I'll find goldenrod and weeds mm-hmm. that I'm... And often, if I'm not really sure, all plants have something. Mm-hmm. And the closer they grow to you, the more important they're going to be to you, most mm-hmm. likely. So, I might just do a little 2-ounce baby food jar full, or I might do a pint jar,
right.
depending on... I might hear things, you mm-hmm. know, like rumblings, you know, mm-hmm. of, well, that plant has such and such. Mm-hmm. People use that for such. And so I know it has something. I'll make a pint.
Well, it's there.
If it's mm-hmm. something that I'm not even sure what that plant is, then that's a baby jar.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But I will do. Yeah, because, sometimes over the winter, it's like, that's exactly what I need.
Right.
And then I'm glad I have it.
So you can do, when you're talking about the Bombay jar, you think of the herbs pressed into mm-hmm. the jar that is, of course, a botanical blend. Mm-hmm. You can do the same thing with the tincture, like you did with the happiness tree and the holy basil. Mimosa. I want to call it jasmine, but mimosa. So you can do blends. And
generally you do them singly.
Oh, you do?
And then combine them. Although mm-hmm. I have our... One time when I was really broke, mm-hmm. I had a friend who really couldn't sleep, and I didn't have the financial resources to buy all the ingredients I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Rosemary House, mm-hmm. and I bought her relaxing tea, her sleepy tea, and it had like all these really great ingredients in, and I made a pint of tincture with that. Mm-hmm. Because I could get the tea for $5. Mm-hmm. If I would have bought the ingredients individually, it would have been 40, maybe.
Right.
So, in that case, I knew that this tincture I wanted for this specific purpose, mm-hmm. for that person. And but generally speaking, it's easier to make singly, and okay. then you combine them afterwards.
And thinking outside the box of herbal tinctures, you also get your hands on fruits, you said.
Yeah, I do that for fun. uh-huh.
So you've even done peaches.
Yes, I've done peaches. And right now in my kitchen, I have peaches, and I have black raspberries, and I have blackberries. Those I did in brandy. Mm-hmm. And I have, did I say black currants?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, I have black currants. I always do elderberry.
Okay. Because, and you keep that in the winter?
Yeah.
The
winter? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Elderberry is so good for antiviral mm-hmm. things that we keep the jelly, we keep frozen juice, we keep oh. tincture, we keep, I make candy with it. Yeah, because it's, you can stay healthy for... the whole winter that way.
The easiest way to do the elderberry then is to do a tincture versus, I know you can make
yes.
a syrup, and then I made that 1 year and I don't know how long that lasts, but if you do the tincture, then you don't have to worry about yeah. the expiration of it.
Yep.
When you do the tincture for fruits, you probably discard the fruit, or you make maybe sangria or something from
well,
it. Or
well, you can do that. I usually, after it's, like I strain it and then I take that fruit and I grind it in the food processor and then strain it again.
Oh, okay.
Because sure. to me, it's in vodka. It doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
You know?
It's pretty much... It's,
I mean, I popped... the first time I ever made the sour cherry
oh, yeah.
thing, I popped one of those babies in my mouth and it was like, ugh.
Really?
yeah. It's vodka.
Too much.
You know?
Yeah. Unless you put it like in a smoothie. But you're pulling everything out of it. You're
right.
pulling the flavor and the color out of it anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So fruits are an option too. I would think that inflammation is something that people are starting to talk a lot about now
mm-hmm.
in regards to inflammation causing disease.
Right.
And inflammation just in your joints and in your body.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that people can consider or could consider tincturing?
Well, a real good one is... and we've got a giant container of it at home, is turmeric.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do the root, like, do you buy the root at market or something?
Yep, we can get the fresh root at market.
And tincture it.
Yep. And huh. now, there's research that shows, I think you need to add 5% to make it more bioavailable,
mm-hmm.
5% black pepper.
Okay.
Okay? And then also, it... there needs to be an ingestion of fat. So
okay.
You would maybe take it with milk.
Mm-hmm.
Or, because there is, if you look online, look up golden milk.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that
Oh, I've
paste,
seen that come up. Okay.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. that, yeah. So, and the reason you use the milk is because you need that fat to help
How about
it,
that?
You
okay.
know. So we started finding fresh root at market, and
yeah.
it was like,
uh-huh.
But turmeric is really, there's, I mean, I don't want to get on
yes.
that bandwagon, but
yes.
there are many, many things, sort of like marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like another one of those things that it's like, this is really a valuable plant for us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah, and turmeric is becoming very popular now, or it has
yeah.
the past few months, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Are there any other growing tips that, I mean, we're doing this episode in the summer, but is there anything that people can think of going forward to the spring that they should put in their gardens? Or just be aware of what's coming up in your yard?
Yeah, personally, I think people need to learn what the weeds are
yeah.
in their gardens, because so many of the weeds that you're throwing out, they're really good for
yeah.
you know, like the chickweed
yeah.
or dandelions or burdock or... right now, purslane is coming up, which is
the
succulent
mm-hmm.
little thing. And that has the highest omega-3. It's the highest source of omega-3 oil other than fish.
Really?
Yes.
Can you tincture it or should you eat it?
You should eat it.
You should eat that
you should
one.
Eat it,
Put it
yeah.
like in a smoothie or your
mm-hmm.
salad.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty gross tinctured because
yeah.
it's It's like okra, kind of.
Yeah, okay.
It's got that texture.
Now, you also think, or you also mentioned to me that, like, you should be aware of what's literally coming up in your yard, because maybe it's coming to you for a reason.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who believe that.
I think you might be right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't doubt this. Mm-hmm. I just am not certain I believe it. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things. But that plants that you need for your health mm-hmm. will come to you. Mm-hmm. And the first time we heard this was probably 25 years ago. And it was a woman who had multiple sclerosis. And she found that poke, which is an herb that nobody without a lot of training in herbs should mess with. It was just coming creeping closer and closer uh-huh. until it was coming in her back door. Mm-hmm. And so she thought, well, I guess it's coming to tell me something. So she did tincture it, and she, I think she did maybe one drop doses mm-hmm. or something like that, which, you know, you just have to be, well, actually, I wouldn't recommend anybody do that unless they were trained herbalists.
Yes, yes.
And she found that was for her. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that for that particular disease that would help everyone.
Yes.
But
yeah.
for her, that was, you know, she was standing in front of us giving a lecture. So.
Mm-hmm. For her, it was beneficial.
Yeah. Yep.
But she knew what she was doing.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Which is a key.
Yep.
I think this is all wonderful information. Especially, it's a different aspect of eating seasonally. Or
yes.
using what's
yep.
in season instead of just cherry pie or... Oh, and
Montmorency sour cherries.
Cherry, okay.
Yeah.
And that's good for... Well, you said that's good for inflammation, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, joints, sore joints, and mm-hmm. And it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they miss, like, sour cherry season, guys. You have to look
yeah.
for them next year, especially with the frost we had locally.
Yeah.
It was, like, the options for sourcing them were smaller this year. But look for it next year. So when you're planning your garden for next year, just think of not just what you can put in the herb garden or in your vegetable garden, but look what's growing now and remember it's coming back next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, so. Because, you know, I just want to add that a lot of the things that we're weeding out were brought here by our ancestors as vegetables or greens. They brought those seeds along with them because they were valuable.
Wow.
And then they escaped gardens, and now we consider them weeds because we're so used to vegetables that have been...
Conventional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. That's actually
yep.
very interesting.
Yeah. There's really very few native weeds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, for instance, plantain, mm-hmm. which that often is called white man's footprint because it is... everywhere.
Right.
You almost can't walk without. But wherever we went, as we landed here, and mm-hmm. it went with us. And
wow.
now it's everywhere.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So pay attention, I think. Pay attention to, like, what's growing near you.
Yes.
That's interesting. And how can people find your website, your magazine, which comes out quarterly, and books?
Every other month.
Every other
yeah,
month. Okay.
At essentialherbal.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, great.
That's pretty much it.
You don't do lectures, do you, locally?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Not too often. I used to do it a lot.
Yeah.
And so I kind of burned out on it.
But the magazines are
yep.
full of a lot of resources. A lot of great articles.
Locally, you can get it at... in Lidditz at Wish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm trying, I think that might be it that
okay.
that I'm local, but...
You can subscribe.
Yeah.
Okay. TheEssentialHerbal.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys can hear the tractors. Sorry you couldn't see the skunk. I didn't get to see the baby skunk. I wanted to
it
see
it. It wasn't a baby. Molly calls everything a baby.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm sorry
you
missed... Was it?
Yeah, the guy was carrying it.
Oh, no. Okay, well, I'm sorry I missed that. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys. You can find TheEssentialHerbal.com. For the subscriptions to the magazines and the books. It's a great resource, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is fun. And you can find me at phoebespurefood.com for recipes, local eating destinations, and our other podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review. Let us know what you think and would like to hear more of. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
See ya.